Hello and welcome once again to your weekly dose of the latest sustainability fun news, facts and reviews brought to you by the Green Elephant. This week, the United States is to rejoin the Paris Climate Agreement in 75 days. It's World Vegan Month. Bentley moves to electric-only cars. A muck plant. Are you loving it? Joining me to discuss these and more as usual is Russell. Good morning, Russell.
Good morning, Mike. Just out of a coughing fit, so carry on.
Thank you. Also coming up are our sustainability selection, Action Alley, and of course, Fact or Fake. We'll also be talking about Absolut, Apple, plant pans, superheroes, fusion, fires, icebergs, batteries, shoes, storms, cows, penguins, and polar bears. Right, now that Russell has finished coughing, or not, there was a tweet from Joe Biden this week, a couple of days ago, on November 5th, said, today, the Trump administration officially left the Paris Climate Agreement. In exactly 77 days, a Biden administration will rejoin it. So the US announced its intention to withdraw from the agreement back in 2017, but the agreement's complex rules meant formal notification could only be sent to the United Nations last year, followed by a 12-month notice period. Hence the long wait. But under a new Biden administration, the US will have the most progressive position on climate change in the nation's history. Biden has already laid out a $2 trillion clean energy and infrastructure plan, a commitment to rejoin the Paris Agreement, and a goal of net zero emissions by 2050. So I think that's really good news. Not only the rejoining of the Paris Climate Agreement, but also their aims for net zero. And whereas in the previous Trump administration, we had, we don't care about climate, we're going to make steel, burn coal and do everything we want to do. We appear to have, coming in 2021, a completely different approach, which says, yes, we care about climate, we're going to join the agreement and we're going to aim for net zero. So really good news.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's the kind of thing you want a new president to do in the America, one of the biggest polluters in the world.
Absolutely.
And and what a $2 trillion. It makes you wonder how the blazes they're going to afford that. But I think that's probably the point, really, is in this triangle of people, planet and prosperity, the prosperity is going to have to take a hit.
It is, yeah.
And so however, what his payment plans are for that particular $2 trillion loan, we'll it's weighing it up, isn't it?
But it's these things are always, you know, you can make announcements, it's in your actions. And I was really heartened to hear that Biden had a call with the British Prime Minister Boris Johnson yesterday as one of the first calls with a foreign head of state.
And special relationship, that, as we have.
Whatever you call it. And they discussed a number of things. They discussed a new trade deal. They discussed Brexit. They discussed various other things. But one of the things they specifically mentioned they discussed was climate change. So I thought that was a really interesting part of a 20-minute phone call, that part of it was given to climate change and not, you know, other things. You know, they didn't talk about defence or, you know, national security. Climate change was, you know, seen as more important than those traditional things. So that was really encouraging. And if that action is anything to go by, it bodes well for the future.
I mean, 2050 for a nation of that size to be net zero is, I would say, a very aggressive campaign. You know, they've got a lot to resolve. They got a lot to resolve.
Yeah, but I mean, it's good news. But I guess we shouldn't lose sight of the issues that there are. I think there's the concept of permanent growth in a capitalist system, permanent rising of the stock markets, permanent prosperity for everybody, and that gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And as we know, the planet pays the price for that permanent growth. And I don't think the world or society or capitalism has quite answered that particular conundrum. How do you have growth without sacrificing the planet.
It's the sustainability of that growth. I don't think it's unreasonable to grow. We all want to improve our lifestyles. We all want to, everyone and all over the world would want to be in a better position predominantly. Yeah. Even the super rich carry on getting super richer. But it's whether that's about, that's not a balanced outcome.
I guess one of the worries about permanent growth is it seems to be a permanent growth of Western waistlines as well. So that probably needs to be reined in as well. But other things like water, we've talked about bottled water, and we know there are
huge
companies in the US that are taking water from the ground. Local residents can't get it. And they're, causing havoc with, local ecosystems and biodiversity. So that's a massive issue. And
I saw a huge map the other day of the US as well, which I think is 43% desert.
Was it a life-size map, was it? not quite that huge then, okay.
Not quite that big, no.
43% desert. And the other issue, I guess, is they... offshore, I mean, it's a very popular term in business, offshore your business, get somebody else to do it, but they are offshoring their climate issues. Send our waste elsewhere, get manufacturing done elsewhere, use labour and practices and conditions elsewhere and kind of move the problem elsewhere. So, yeah, great news and a change in direction, but not without its issues.
No, and I suppose that comes down to you can be net zero by planting trees in Brazil, but is that really the idea? Is or as you say, give your waste to somebody else and it's their problem to get rid of and their carbon footprint, but that's not the case. So supply chains, they do mention Australia. Australia has been a big friend of Trump because they've torn up the climate agreements as well. And of course, this will change their relationship with Australia. And I think America is Australia's third biggest supplier, so or trade partner. So, big discussions to be had in Australia.
Absolutely. Moving on to our selection and recommendation for the week. And this week, we're suggesting a YouTube channel called Our Changing Climate. And this is a selection of really well-made, really well thought out and considered videos that they're not that long. They tend to be between sort of 7 to 10 minutes long, but cover lots of the major issues in sustainability and climate change. So some of the things they talk about are veganism, the impact of online shopping. They cover various brands. I think Tesla is one of the things they talk about. They talk about electric scooters, they talk about small houses, genetically modified food, and all manner of topics. But every single one of the videos is done in a really considered, clever way, and they're well researched. And it's not a channel that puts out lots and lots of videos. I think they tend to be every couple of weeks. But every single one of them is worth a watch and is very well considered. So, we'll put a link on the show page so everybody in the herd can go and have a watch of those.
I thought they were very well made. I thought they were exceptional high quality for somebody who relies on patronage to support his activities as well. So really nice.
Yeah, go and check that out. And if our herd likes it, or you've got any other channels or recommendations that you think we should be talking about, then let us know. Look us up on social media. It's at GreenEllipod, and we'll give them a mention. It's World Vegan Month, founded by the Vegan Society in 1994. I think that was a fact or fake a few weeks back. Celebrates the founding of the organisation itself and the creation of the term vegan, which was coined by Donald Watson in 1944.
That's what the fact or fake was.
It was, yeah. World Vegan Month is now an occasion for vegan curious people to learn more about one of the fastest growing lifestyle movements in the world. Now, we are becoming intimately familiar with this because we are in the midst of our own Vivember challenge. How's that going for you at the moment, Russell? How's the last week been?
It's not been too bad, I think, and we're going to got some tips in a little bit in another piece of about World Vegan Month or tips on how to be vegan. I saw, and we're I think, you know, the one thing that I've learned in the past week is don't try and substitute, try and change. You know, if you spend your whole life trying to buy a chicken substitute or buy a butter substitute or buy a cheese substitute, you will probably fail because all you're doing is maintaining a previous lifestyle instead of actually embracing the new.
Yes, I would 100% concur with that because in the last week I have had vegan cheese.
And what was that like for you?
Not very cheesy. I really don't know what it tasted like. And
plant.
I also had the pleasure of a corn sausage. Have you had that delicacy?
Yeah. Well, yes.
I was actually. That was one of the more pleasant things I've tried, and surprising.
There was one thing about not beating yourself up about making a mistake. So I said to you the other day, I pulled salad cream out of my fridge and had some salad cream. And once I was eating it, then went, oh, had a check, had a look. And last night I had a flatbread out of the freezer with my very vegan curry. Yep. We went back and had a look at it, and right at the bottom it had milk in it. And you think, well, what? You know, it's the last ingredient on the list. So it was, you know, it must have splattered milk on the thing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there was a really interesting post from TerraMove on Instagram. We had a brief chat where they I think, said, we need, the world needs more imperfect vegans. So it needs more people that are adopting the lifestyle and not beating themselves up. So if everybody went from eating meat 5 times a week to eating it once a week, that would make a massive difference. And so I think we're experiencing some of those imperfections that we shouldn't be that worried about. We just do our best. But we've it linked up in the show notes, for listeners to look at are 10 tips on, you know, taking part in World Vegan Month and things to try and do. Things like, you know, improving your understanding. This one really resounded with me was let it take time. You know, changing your lifestyle from one way of eating to another way of eating is not something that you can bed in 2 weeks as we've been doing it. And I found that, like you said, try and change, because I've replaced milk and cheese and eggs, and I made a lasagna with egg-free pasta and with white sauce made with oat milk and various things. And it was okay, it was edible, but it really wasn't what I was expecting to taste. And so everything tastes different when you try and replace stuff. And so it's a bit unsatisfactory. It's just, it's different.
Yeah. And then what you become is disappointed with the meal that you previously enjoyed. And then you think, oh, it must be because it's the meat. And it isn't. It's because it's a meat dish, and you don't need a meat dish. You need a plant-based dish. Yeah. But I think at the same time, it's like if on any diet, if anybody's been on any kind of calorie controlled diet or, you know, controlling your carbs, if you make a mistake, if you do something, you don't sit there and kind of, oh, well, that's it then. I've blown it. I might as well go and eat a steak, or I might as well. You just go, okay, things happen. I expect every vegan has accidentally used something that didn't work.
One of the tips I enjoyed here was get creative. And it says a fun part of going vegan is all the new ingredients, recipes and flavors you will discover. And I'm certainly going to be trying that rather than just having another jacket potato. I'm going to be searching out some different things.
I think it takes time. We did a nut roast at the weekend, and it takes time to prepare a nut roast. It you know, you, and sometimes you have to plan ahead. You might have to soak a bean or a lentil or something for 24 hours beforehand. You know, it's a different
cooking.
No wonder
it takes you so long if you're soaking one bean a day for, yeah. It would take you six months to prepare a nut roast.
Yeah. Hopefully you're not doing one bean a day.
A lentil. Oh.
Yeah, it would be a bit extreme. No, yeah. We did gather to them together in one single bowl.
Good.
But you can't just get up at, you know, sometimes I get off away from my desk at some unearthly time of the evening and go, right, what are we going to do for tea? Perhaps not so great in the vegan vegan lifestyle. Yeah.
There we are.
So yeah, a little bit of thought.
Yeah, keep tuning in. More updates on our Vivember challenge, but it is World Vegan Month. We'd encourage the herd to go and check out the link in the show notes and give it a try for yourself and let us know what you think. We'd love to hear any new vegans, your experiences and what you're going through. So at GreenEliPod, send us a note on social. We'd love to hear from you. Now it's time for some other big sustainability news stories in brief from the week. We talked about the Absolut Vodka company a few weeks back. They're moving to recycled paper bottles, but they have announced the production of the production of Absolut Vodka will be fossil fuel free by 2025 and completely carbon neutral by 2030 with no offsets needed. So that's a really great thing. Most of these carbon neutral means they're buying loads of offsets or planting lots of trees. But so to reach the goals, the company is working on multiple green packaging initiatives and it's promoting sustainable agriculture and working with its supply chain partners to help move them all towards a circular economy as well. So, brilliant news. In 2018, yeah. Absolut started using waste spirits as a fuel at the distillery. I like the sound of that, fueling your vehicles with waste spirits, replacing LPG. So.
Yeah. Sounds dangerous to me, to be honest.
It does indeed. But talking about vehicles.
We're on Bentley Motors are stepping up to the plate a little bit. Now, Bentley, if you're not familiar with them, they're owned by the Volkswagen Group.
Yeah.
And they are the luxury, one of the big luxury auto mobile makers. And so they've made some promises, some commitments. So they're only going to produce a plug-in hybrid and all-electric cars starting in 2026 and dropping all combustion engines in the next decade. So they'll be all electric by 2030.
That's a serious commitment, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And for a company that is known, I mean, they have beasts of machines, 12-cylinder, 5-litre, massive, which can run along smoothly and quietly. But, of course, electric gives that luxury and massive performance. So, yeah, and you know, the Bentley's probably made framework-wise, actually made to be electric for that kind of luxury. So look forward to never riding in one of those.
or bringing you a full hands-on review at some point.
If anybody from Bentley wants to give us one so we can try, that'd be lovely.
Yeah, that'd be fantastic. Apple is following up some of its climate commitments. And we talk about supply chain every week on the show, but Apple has cut off a major supplier, Pegatron, from new contracts. After it was revealed that they had student labor violations at some of the Taiwanese manufacturers' China-based facilities. Apple found that Pegatron had been falsifying paperwork in order to cover up these violations. Pegatron's one of the biggest Apple supply chain partners, and they make parts for things like iPhones, 12s and stuff like that. There was a statement from Apple, which I'll just read. It says, "We have a rigorous review and approval process for any student worker program, which ensures the interim's work is related to their major and prohibits overtime or night shift. Pegatron misclassified the student workers in their program and falsified paperwork to disguise violations of our code." So I think that was,
Well, there's a couple of things there, isn't it? One, companies actually stepping forward and doing proper contract review. It's so common that people will point somebody and then the only time they look at the contract is when it goes wrong or when they have to renew it.
Yep.
And they don't chase stuff up. So I think that's great. And two, to get rid of one of your biggest suppliers in your supply chain is a brave thing to do. But if you're going to hold to the sustainability, you've got to do it.
Yep.
I mean, in terms of what, going back to the UK now, the UK government are going to make climate risk reports mandatory for large companies.
Yeah, we talked and this about was this last time, yeah.
It okay. is, and it's where the beautifully named, which we've commented before, Task Force on Climate-Related Financial Disclosures Group.
Brilliant. Are
we, there's no way of shortening that to initials, TFCFD. It just doesn't roll off the tongue.
Yeah.
So in an attempt to demonstrate the government's commitment to tackling the global heating, Sunak said the government UK would go further than an international task force and recommended to make disclosure by large businesses mandatory.
Yeah.
And they're going to do this by 2025. And he said the real win would be to make all financial institutions put in place plans to meet the Paris Climate Agreement by the end of next year.
Brilliant.
So 2021, all the large companies, I would say medium companies, get your act together because it will come to you.
And keep listening for fact or fake, because Paris Climate Agreement is very pertinent given it's been rejoined and now companies will have to do mandatory reporting. So, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Oh, very
good.
You're
loving it, Russell.
Shame you didn't get your trombone out for that.
Absolutely. It's to launch a McPlant vegetarian option. McDonald's is developing what it calls a plant-based platform called the McPlant that will debut in markets around the world early next year. The company has a special formulation which it could extend across its plant-based products, including burgers, chicken substitutes, and breakfast sandwiches. Compared to other fast food chains, McDonald's has been lagging behind. Burger King has worked with Impossible Foods to launch their Impossible Whopper, and Beyond Meat has partnered with KFC on a plant-based nugget. So, it's coming. Meat substitutes are coming to all the fast food near you.
Yep. Again, it kind of comes to back to the thing is substituting. Just don't have fast food. I don't know if you know a vegan really should have. We talked about junk vegans, didn't we? So
you did, yeah.
There are people that look for junk food and possibly live on it, but I don't know. It just feels not very healthy generally. Anyhow, let's inspire a few children to protect the planet now.
Yay!
There is the climate action superheroes. which would be Cash, I suppose, if you actually shorten that. But anyway, eight new animated characters have been put on a mission to protect the planet. They have been pressed into service by the UN to empower children worldwide and boost the drive towards sustainability by 2030. We've got a bunch of very alliterative characters, the energy expert, the recycle ranger, the green guide, and the water wizard, who presumably trains potty training as well. But and the idea is to get to get children and parents to do fun missions and
do you think we are currently the veggie vindicators? I don't know.
Or the vegan vegetator. Vegan vigilantes probably be more appropriate.
This is not something we've just made up. This comes from the UN, so the United Nations are putting this out there. So, go and have a look at the link in the show notes and see the illustrations, because they are quite amusing.
Yeah, quite fun. Well, I can imagine that there are, I mean, apart from the four I mentioned, you've got the fashion fixture and the truth talker. I think it's a little bit, they're a little bit raw in their naming, but I suppose they're simple. So, I haven't looked at them in detail, I must admit, so I'll do that.
Good. For cooking our vegan and vegetarian food, something that came across our desk this week was Prestige, who make cookware. They've made a range of cookware made out of plants. They say they're committed to doing our bit to making cooking more green, efficient and sustainable. Their new eco cookware range, they say, is the world's friendliest plant-based non-stick pans. They've got a unique plant-based non-stick inside and out and are palm oil free, made from recycled materials and made to be recyclable themselves. So they've teamed up with Treate, so they plant trees for every pan you buy. But these are, I'd love to see how this works in practice, because it looks like it would melt under the heat. They're green. they look like, you know, it's made of spinach and cabbage, and they would melt as soon as you heat them, but clearly not. So amazing piece of technology to make saucepans out of plants.
I guess, I mean, you've got silicon stuff, which is highly resistant, so presumably this is good for them. I don't know if we needed plant-based cookware. and I've got no intention of eating my frying pan once I finish using it.
We've got it anyway.
Okay. Yeah, okay. So let's move on to the fact you heat a frying pan to how to heat it up a little bit more, and you turn into turning on some fusion. Nuclear fusion is the subject next. They're turning on something called MAST, a mega amp spherical tokamak.
Okay.
easy for me to say.
Yeah.
And the idea, and they're turning this on in Oxfordshire in the UK. And this machine is looking to emulate essentially how the sun burns energy and differs from traditional nuclear power.
Yeah, we had one of these on the show. I think it was in India or something a couple of weeks ago. Another organization are doing something similar, and it's that fusion is far more efficient than traditional nuclear power stations. So it seems to be a number of people looking at this.
I mean, it is fascinating. It was always deemed to, and the reason it's taken so long to get from fission, which is what we use in nuclear power stations, to fusion, is that once you've heated a mass like this and you're starting to do some fairly hefty atomic activity, if you don't control the magnetic field well enough, it falls into the earth. It's a very hot mass that then gets hotter. So it's dangerous, and that's why it's taken a long time to master the technology. But if it works, we're talking about very small plants generating very, very clean, very, very sustainable energy. So let's hope it works. Let's hope they nail it.
So a new technology by a company called FICE, I think that's physics and seeing or something, for lowering energy consumption and generating electricity. And I love this one. It's called Smart Skin. And it's a technology that goes into glass windows. And the glass window essentially becomes a solar panel and has some electronics and some sensors in it. So it takes power from the sun, generates electricity, and then does some smart home, smart hub features. So it can do things like run your blinds, your ventilation, your lights, but all from the windows. We've all got windows in our houses.
Yeah.
So imagine a technology where we move from, you know, standard glass, and we all use this solar energy generating glass in all our buildings. Absolutely amazing. So that's a really interesting development.
Yeah, that's great. And moving on to another company who's called Best Before, who's knitting biodegradable children's shoes out of sustainable material. Now, this one kind of has me in a quandary as to whether I like it or not. They've created these things to work in the same way that we buy food. Or they say about milk. They offer a way to accommodate the contradiction between clothes made of long-lasting fabric taking between 20 and 200 years to break down, as it is with synthetic fibers, and the need to change our wardrobe due to lifestyle changes, health or growth spurts. I like the phrase growth spurts, because I've had one of those for 25 years.
do we have to eat these shoes before a certain date?
To be honest, I think that's. But basically, what you do is you wash them into extinction.
Okay.
They dissolve in the washing machine after a certain amount of time. Now, presumably they don't end up creating anything micro disastrous to the water system. Mm. But it's made from one piece of fabric to include a flexible upper portion and a strong sole. I suppose kids' shoes do tend to not last that long.
Yeah, yeah.
But at the same time, you can pass your shoes down to younger children or children from another family. So I don't know, is it really in the spirit?
Well, I think we're going to see lots of different approaches to fast fashion and trying to answer that question. So watch this space and see what other ideas come around. Now 2020 has been a difficult year for many reasons, but if you are in the renewable energy business, you've had a good year, because 2020 has seen record growth in the global renewable energy installation. This is reporting according to the International Energy Agency, and they published a report that said almost 90% of new electricity generation in 2020 will be renewable, with only 10% by gas and coal. And so that's a brilliant trend to see. And watch this space. You may have seen on Instagram feeds this week, we teased that we have an offering called Planet Devices coming up, and that's very much related to the differences between renewable energy and gas and coal. So continue to follow along for more news on that.
Yeah, and I suppose that's a worldwide stat. So, you know, because we know where in some countries they are very renewable and others very much not so. Keeping on the power theme, Australia plans to strengthen its power grid with another giant battery. Apparently, they've had a very large lithium iron battery in place, but they've now got one that's twice the size, the size of a football stadium, in fact. That's a big battery, and it's 300 megawatt battery. And so what they're trying to resolve is a number of power outs or brownouts and blackouts that they've been suffering in the state of Victoria. It's great, because obviously that means that they are a sunny place, so they should be able to rely on solar, but solar doesn't work so well at night. We know it does work at night, but not as well.
But it's the issue with all renewables is that great for generating, but you need to store that power generated somewhere, and this looks like they're doing something interesting to store.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. On to other environmental news now, and just a really quick mention, we've talked about it a number of times, fires in the Amazon, and a report this week says that the number of fires blazing in the Amazon region in October 2020 was more than double those in the same month last year. So continues to be a sad story, that one.
And another sad story, a giant iceberg, which is called A38, which is a bit funny because that's a local road to
that's
us.
That's a road near us.
Has crashed into South Georgia and grounded itself there. But what they found is, because obviously it changed fundamentally, it's a lot of fresh water that's suddenly released into the water system. And of course has a cooling effect. Many local animals, including young penguins and seals, have turned up dead. And there's another one heading for them called the A68A, which is not in our region.
No.
But that's 4,200 square kilometres in size. Now, that's bigger than Cornwall, where we live, not quite as big as Devon. So if you're interested in regional UK somewhere and you don't live here, then go have a look and see what size Cornwall is.
Size of our whole county, yeah. And, you know, just giving some airtime to other regions in the world, as we like to do. It's not all about you know, the California wildfires. In Guatemala this week, there's been torrential rain, high winds, and they've had numbers of deaths. Death toll continues to rise from mudslides, landslides, hillside collapse. At least 50 people have died so far, and the number keeps rising. So, you know, everywhere around the world, these effects are being felt.
And you know, looking again back to ourselves, as we increasingly we're reliant on fruit and vegetables in the UK imported from countries which are most vulnerable to the climate crisis. Yeah. So, bizarrely enough, there was a study published in Nature Food this week. We found out that the proportion of fruit and vegetable supplies in the UK that was grown domestically dropped from 42% in 87 to 22% in 2013.
Wow.
Presumably that's dropping yet further. We know our farming has gone through a dreadful time.
I didn't realize that heavily reliant on brought in food and vegetables. Wow, that's
And it does, you know, funny enough, with us on our vegetable or plant-based diets, that we can pretty well guarantee that half our food is coming from overseas, which is has its own issues, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But we're then drawing down from those who are climate vulnerable. So those countries that are very vulnerable and are likely less likely to be able to provide us stuff are under... has risen from 20 to 32%. So we're reliant on people that are going to suffer in this changing climate. So, all I can say.
Well, that brings us on to our action for the week, and reveals the difficulty, because our action for the week is for people to try and shop ethically and shop locally. And how difficult is it when only 20% of the fruit and veg in this country is produced locally? Is it to shop locally for those essentials? But the action is, if you can, shop ethically, shop locally, especially this Black Friday and this Christmas, because it isn't all about Amazon. They don't need your trade. They're big enough. But your local shop on the corner, they do need your trade. They've had a really difficult year. They've not been open for a lot of that year. And using them will really help them out. Using Amazon isn't really going to help Amazon out. So, you know, we'd ask the herd. And we put a post out on our social about this, about where are you going to shop this year that's not Amazon? Where are you going to shop this year that's ethical? And really want to encourage all our listeners, if you've got a local or ethical shop you want people to use, tell us and we will tell our listeners and our audience about it. We're really happy to promote your local ethical business. So send us a note, look us up on social, send an email to studio@greenelephant.show, and we will give you a mention. We will try and encourage people to use you and to shop locally where we can.
Yeah, and I think another thing to add to that, I suppose, would be to shop smart. Don't, instead of buying tons of small little things, lots of tidbits, stuff that's not useful, let's make sure we buy stuff which people will use. That is not just another pair of Christmas socks that come out once a year, or and think about whether you're buying plastics and whether you know there's something smart. We got some lovely shops. I'll mention one. I got What's Trading just around the corner from me. They do very sustainable stuff, all wooden, you know, but really nice stuff. But it's a little bit expensive. But one present instead of 10, you know, perhaps group together.
If you go with big online retailers, you are paying the price with the planet, not with your wallet. And so that bit of extra expense to do it locally is worth every penny.
And it's that prosperity over planet thing again.
Yep. Moving on to our B Corp spotlight for the week. And this week we have chosen one of the biggest, most well-known B corporations in the world. Quick reminder, B corporations are those organizations that have enshrined their commitment to doing the best for their people, doing the best for the planet, and they've certified to say that they're doing that. It's written into their constitution and their rules, and they have plans, and they are reassessed to make sure they follow through on that. And this week we'd like to give a mention to Ben and Jerry's, which for reasons of vegan comfort, I've not eaten any recently, but.
No.
The good news is they have a new flavor called Save Our Swirled. And it's a coconut flavored ice cream with caramel and cookie swirls and chocolatey pieces. It's a world-class flavour you can't resist, and a demand for climate justice you can't ignore. But the good news is that's a non-dairy ice cream, so
they
are quite free to have it. But Ben & Jerry's, they're very committed to climate justice, to treating people better. They've got lots of campaigns. Go and check out the website. There's this kind of thing all over it. We're going to put a link up. They've got a campaign to take action on climate justice. There's numbers of suggestions they give to people about how you can take action, what you can do. And, you know, to round up the things that they were saying, you know, they are really committed to doing what they're saying, and they publish some of their policies. And there's a really interesting list of policies they've got, which is things like putting a price on carbon, transitioning to 100% renewables, stop using coal entirely, leave fossil fuels in the ground. That's interesting. Stop deforestation. Ensure support for developing countries. Really high profile B Corp.
It is. And I had they're part of the Unilever group, which obviously has its own issues in the past, but obviously they're leading as a subsidiary of that in trying to be better corporation, which is what the B stands for, isn't it? I think better. I particularly like the fact that it's a coconut flavored ice cream, and presumably using coconut milks and such to like. I suppose the only thing, and I'm glad they've got to stop deforestation, because we've recently heard a lot of more about coconut. Because of the rise in coconut, especially the vegans, like vegan butter tends to be more coconut than anything else. Coconuts have been knocking down mangrove. They've been cutting down mangrove forests to grow more coconuts to feed this desire from the Western world. Yep. So we do have to balance our consumption of these.
Going back to things. Imperfect vegan. Is there an imperfect environmentalist, an imperfect sustainability advocate that says
absolutely
doing as much as we can in the knowledge that it isn't going to be perfect?
Yeah, I agree completely, and not beating yourself up, because you can't balance this game. You know, whatever you do, we can't grow coconuts in the UK, so we have to transport them. There'll be a price to pay somewhere. Yeah. It's just how we balance that so the world doesn't die under our feet, I suppose.
Lots of feedback this week, as always. Been very busy. The herd has been making their feelings known. At the start of the week, there was lots of shared disappointment about the US position and the Russian position on climate change, fossil fuels, Paris Agreement, including from Rach on the Rome, Lally Emma, Letitia 553, Cat Stalker, Sarah Marie Berault, and many others. So universally viewed as not great. But we had an interesting interview with Robert Wolf from Made Open last week, and he made a suggestion that you take time for yourself and be more resourceful. And it seems that the simple bug told her friend Cameron Toya to follow the tips over the weekend, and it seemed like more of an instruction and a command to do it. But the good news was that Cameron Toya came back and said, "Yeah, I did that over the weekend." He was happy to follow our tips, so that's
good to hear.
That was great to see. Do you remember the Breathe air filter that we talked about last week, Russell?
And
charcoal and coconut and whatever else it is.
So it's a fully sustainable air filter, wasn't it?
It is. And 52 Ways to Save the Planet picked up on that, and they're going to purchase one. And they're going to let us know what it's like to actually use it in the home. So stay tuned, and we're going to have a review of that in future weeks. So really good. Cool. As a precursor to the action this week about shopping locally, shopping resourcefully, we put a question out on Instagram to ask where other people are going to shop. We'd love to get loads more feedback on that. So please go and add your answers on there. But Minij Plastiku has already done that and gave us a whole list of Polish alternatives that you can use that are ethical and sustainable and local. So really pleased to all the herd. We want to see loads more of that. And finally, in feedback from this week, loads of people liked Robert Wolf's suggestion of the man who planted trees. So we must read that ourselves, including For the Animal 6, Venger Planet, Honey Gut Buck Rut, Pixel Planet, Green Made Simple, Cooking La Passion, Sydney SOS, Eco for Life, Forever Apps, and loads of others. And also Green Glen Eco, who said he went to see this in Edinburgh as a play, and he said it was a lovely, gentle thing to go and see with his children.
Yeah, I mean, it was obviously I haven't read it, and if you listen to it, Robert gives a fairly significant insight into what the book contains. But I think everyone that we saw really enjoyed that, or would enjoy that book, and it has a good underlying message to it, which we can learn from. And I think that was a nice thing about Rob's discussion last time, is it he's kind of there, but he's quite relaxed, and that kind of came across in the chat we had.
Behind the scenes this week, very busy as always, working on all sorts of things, particularly on our crowdfunder. As I said, we've put on Instagram a little teaser about Planet Devices, our new energy saving device that's coming up, and we'll be having a sign up page available very soon, within the next week, hopefully, so you can sign up, register interest, and find out all about that as soon as we make that available. So that's very exciting. We're also continuing to work in the background on our video show, which we're going to launch in January. So if there's anything you'd like to see on that, any topics you'd like to us to cover, or if anybody from the herd would like to be involved, then just send us a message, email us and let us know, and we'd love to have a chat with you about that. And finally, on behind the scenes, we have a shop opening next week. So for all your kind of sustainabilities, merchandising needs, look out for that coming next week. And hopefully we'll have some fun things, as well as some things that will spread awareness about some of the issues we talk about on the show as well. And now it's Russell's favourite time of the week. He looks forward to it every week. He gets out of bed with a spring on a Wednesday morning because it's fact or fake.
Dun, dun, dun.
And this week, fact or fake, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, I had a comment the other day that what's the score? And I said, I don't know. Being not a very competitive person, to be fair. And he said, well, you need a score. Who's winning between you and Mike?
Okay.
I need to know. And I went, okay, we'll go through the past shows and
we'll
work
do a
out
tally.
A score.
And work so it out.
Need to
Watch
do
that
next week.
Next time, yes.
Yeah.
So this week, it's all about the Paris Climate Agreement.
Yay!
That's very much in the news. So, first of all, 100% of the 195 countries in the world signed up to the Paris Agreement. Is that a fact or is that a fake?
100%.
100% of the 195 countries in the world signed up to the Paris Climate Agreement.
That's a fake.
I'm afraid it is actually a fact. All 195 countries signed up to it.
They've
not all ratified it, but they all signed up to it. And I was amazed at that. But they all signed up.
No way. You sneaky beggar.
Okay. The agreement provides for $100 billion of funding every year from 2020 to support programs and developing countries. So $100 billion every year from 2020 to support programs.
From who? Who's going to give that?
As part of the agreement.
Okay.
They all agreed that they would provide $100 billion of funding.
If it was $100 billion each, it still wouldn't be enough. I'm going to say that is a fake. Fake as well, yeah.
That's another fact. So as part of the agreement, $100 billion every year set aside for programs and to support developing countries.
Does that strike you as a little low?
It is low, but that is the number. So the Paris Agreement is legally binding on those countries that have ratified it. So as well as signing up to the agreement, the countries then ratify it. That agreement is legally binding on those countries that have ratified it. Is that fact or fact?
Yeah, I mean, it should be. That should be a fact. I I fear it, that might be a fake.
It is a fake. There is nothing legally binding about the Paris Agreement. It's merely a commitment. There's nothing binding about it.
I think that's because the UK government has put enshrined it in law, isn't it? Which has put time and leaps to make their own commitment to that. Yeah, okay.
So the Paris Climate Agreement seeks to limit global warming to no more than 2 degrees Celsius from pre-industrial levels.
That sounds about right, but
is that the target? Limit global warming to no more than 2 degrees Celsius.
I'm going to say that's a fake.
On what basis?
On one basis is I think it's too high. I think it's 1.5, isn't it?
It absolutely is 1.5 degrees. So no more than 2 degrees is a fake, and 1.5 is right. Here we go. All countries have to review and reassess their commitment to the Paris Agreement every 10 years.
Oh, hold on. This is number five.
This is number five.
I was expecting I had a draw there. Now,
wait, no, you've got a chance to win.
Oh,
you've also got a chance to lose as well.
Oh, so
all countries have to review and reassess their commitment to the agreement every 10 years.
I don't know. That sounds like a fact.
Oh, snatch defeat from the jaws of victory. That is a fake. They actually have to review and reassess every 5 years, starting in 2023.
Well, that's not bad, actually. I mean, in governmental terms, that's pretty aggressive.
It is, yeah.
Okay.
That concludes the Paris Agreement-themed fact or fake for the week. And finally, before we go, penguins in hiding. Scientists are calling for a shake-up of the penguin kingdom, saying the Gentoo penguin, which go by the Latin name Zygogus leviparus, there's the pronunciation challenge for the week, is four species, not one. According to new evidence, the birds are slightly different in shape, size, and can be told apart by their DNA. So, over the course of hundreds of thousands of years, Gentoo penguins have become isolated from each other to the point where they don't interbreed, even though they could easily swim the distance that separates them. I love the idea. They think, these other penguins are just over there, but we can't be bothered to go and see those.
Should we slide over and intermingle our species? Not likely.
And polar bears are migrating south. The first polar bear cub to be born in the UK in 25 years is being moved from his home in Scotland to a park in England.
Oh.
Hamish, great bear name, who is now 2.5 years old, shares an enclosure with his mother, Victoria, at the Highland Wildlife Park near Aviemore. He's going somewhere glamorous, though. Hamish's new home will be Doncaster's Yorkshire Wildlife Park, where there are already four polar bears.
Okay.
Brilliant.
It's probably as cool up there as it is in the Arctic at the
absolutely.
Moment.
Absolutely. But keepers at the Highland Wildlife Park have been familiarising Hamish with his travel crate for more than a year, rewarding him with one of his favourite treats, hot dogs, and a piece of salmon or cod liver or whenever he entered it. So go in the crate and you can have a hot dog, Hamish.
He'll be fooled. At some point, they'll close the door.
Yeah. As long as it's not a corn hot dog, maybe. But there we are. Never mind. As ever, you can find links to all the stories we've discussed on our show page at greenelephant.show. If you have any stories or comments you want to share, then find us across social on @greenellipod. We're on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, and soon Amazon. It would be great if you could subscribe and review the podcast. But until next time, thanks for listening, and we hope you have a sustainable week.